Well, good morning, right after the shiur.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to see everyone here. I apologize to those who came last week. There was some discrepancy in the calendar. I knew after Simchat Torah, it's hard to get people away, and I'm recovering. In any event, we start a new series, or at least a new focus this year. You know, we've been doing the Parsha now only 15 years. I figured we could have a slight change of direction, and discuss and learn Sefer Tehillim. When Rabbi Zatz spells me, by the way, so he'll continue with Parshas HaShavua, for those who like Parsha. But this year, you'll tell me how it goes. You know, I'm not inflexible. I'm not completely flexible, but I'm not inflexible. With a taste of Parsha. That's correct. We'll try to relate to the parak that we're doing to the Parsha of the week, which this week is Noach. So Tehillim with a taste of Parsha, we start with Perek Aleph. You could find Tehillim in your Siddur. The Artful Siddur has, the Hebrew English has in the back of the Siddur. Page 994. Tehillim Perek Aleph. Now, what kind of Sefer is Tehillim? I think most of us are familiar with Tehillim in two venues. Firstly, in the davening. Psukkah Dezimra is almost all Tehillim. And secondly, at different moments in life, it's almost a very common refuge of Jews, a prevalent practice amongst Jews. Some just recite Tehillim every day. It's divided into different books. You could recite one per day of the week. Yeah, all that bad news, just say Tehillim this morning. Right. So why is that? I mean, why if a person feels easier, if a person feels sad or even happy, why would we right away run and just recite Sefer Tehillim as opposed to Sefer Mishle or Shir HaShirim or some other Sefer? Why Tehillim? So what is Tehillim? Tehillim is a description of the full range of human emotions and how in every circumstance in life in which a person finds himself, he has to love Hashem and he has to serve Hashem. And David HaMelech experienced all of this. Joy, sadness, stress, relief, peace, persecution, pain, family troubles, national troubles. David HaMelech experienced in his own lifetime the gamut of human emotions. Now, understand, David was the only author of Tehillim. He's best known to us as the editor of Tehillim, although he wrote to many, if not most of them. Rashi says right at the beginning that there are 10 authors of Tehillim, some famous to us, Adam Harishon, right? The Medrash says he wrote Mizmor Shir, Liyom HaShabbos, Tov V'Hodas Hashem, because he experienced the first Shabbos after his chet. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote one, we say, Shabbos morning, Tefillah Moshe. And some others, the B'nai Korach, L'Matzech, L'Bnei Korach, Mizmor, they wrote a Tehillim what we recite before we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah morning. So Tehillim, of course, is praise of God. Tehillim is the plural of Tehillah, praise. But it's not just a string of adjectives, as we would think, as sometimes Psukkah Dezimra seems to us, but rather it's the praise of God that emerges from man as the reciter of the praise in all aspects of man's life. That's why we reach for Tehillim when we rejoice and when we mourn. When we seek to exalt, and there are exultant Prakei Tehillim, and when we need to be comforted, and when we're pressured as individuals or as a nation. So Tehillim, therefore, is not just to be uttered, but it's to be understood. Some of it is complicated. Obviously, the Hebrew is very poetic, and it's not always easy. The first parak is pretty straightforward, but Tehillim, you find many Kapitlach Tehillim, I guess the ones that are not often said, that are not easy to understand. But the truth is, every parak has to be understood. It's all part of Kisvei HaKodesh. And it's not the mere recital of the words that should comfort, but rather the words give us a reflection on the ideas. And when we reflect on the ideas and we recite Tehillim with understanding, there you find the true grandeur of the Sefer itself. Yalkut Shimoni says here in the first parak, on a pasuk also familiar to us from the end of Shemoneh Esrei, it's in Til Mutes, the end, Yehu L'Ratzon Imrei Fi, that Imrei Fi, David says, the utterances of my mouth should be L'Ratzon, should be acceptable to you, God. So that Medrash says in the Yalkut, She'yasu V'yechakeku L'Doros, that this should be done and transcribed, really engraved for all generations. And a person shouldn't read them like you read the works of Meiras, whoever that was. It may be Homer it's a reference to, but let's say, you know, you shouldn't read Tehillim like you're reading a novel, like you're reading a magazine. It has to be recited, but studied and understood. Eliyahu Koran Bohen, Vehogan Bohen, we should read them and meditate on them, Vinotlin Schar Alehem, Kinegotin Veoholos, and receive reward for that, as if a person studied Negom and Oholos. Those two are some of the more complicated Mesechtos in all of Shas. Because David teaches us the way to achieve a closeness to God, even in difficult circumstances, or in happy circumstances, because that's more difficult. So therefore it has to be understood, because when we internalize his experiences and his words, so that's how we are bettered. That's how we are improved. What's the first theme, or the theme of the first parak? Ashrei ha'ish. Ashrei, what's osher? With an aleph. Osher means happiness, right? Happiness, fortune, praise. The very first parak of Tehillim describes for us the key to happiness. How does a person achieve happiness in this world? And in a general sense, how the life of tzidkus, the life of righteousness, leads to the good, and how the life of rishus, the life of evil, leads itself to evil and to torment as well, notwithstanding the minority of exceptions that we find in the world. So let's see. Ashrei ha'ish, asher lo halach ma'atzas rishoyim. Happy, fortunate is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, uvederach chatzaim lo amod. He does not stand in the way of the sinners, meaning stand with them, uvmashav leitzim lo yashav, nor does he sit in the company of the scoffers. So firstly, we see that osher here is not simply happiness that a person finds in life because he has things that make him happy. That the Malbim explains as the word hatzlacha. We speak about someone being matzliach in life, being successful. That's what we mean. Hatzlacha. Hatzlacha in parnasa, in all the physical things in the world. Osher, rather, with an aleph, the Malbim says, is b'inyonim hanafshim b'chai olam haba. That relates only to spiritual matters that relate to this world. So the happiness that a person is going to attain in this world, because he is going on the right path, is a happiness that will benefit him in this world and the next world. That's what we say several times, Ashrecha v'tovloch. David uses that phrase, Ashrecha v'tovloch. It's happy for you and good for you. Mar says, Ashrecha v'olam hazeh, v'tovloch l'olam haba. It's good in this world, and it's good in the next world as well. So it relates only to spiritual matters. How does a person then attain this type of osher? So the first thing a person has to do, probably because the world is filled with it, is to separate from what is evil. Ashrei ish asher lo halach batzas rishoyim. Person has to not walk in the company of the wicked. Not to walk means in the company of the wicked, so Rashi is someone who sins b'mezid. Intentional sinner. Someone who is either oblivious to the halacha, he doesn't think it applies to him. Let's say the habitual speaker of Lashon Hara. Habitual. Ba Lashon Hara. Doesn't apply, doesn't see it as any type of offense. So that's mezid. That's intentional. uvederech chatim lo amod. So the chote is either the one who sins b'shogeg, or the one who sins because he is desirous of something. He can't restrain himself. He just has to have it. He can't stop. So I'm like everyone. I'm always trying to diet. So now I'm on a very strict diet. All right. Yeah, temptations abound in the world. Wouldn't you know it? I'm walking home from shul this morning. It's about 7:45, and a big Fryhofer's truck passes in front of me with a picture. Must have been 10 feet wide of a chocolate chip cookie. All right. That's a walking tithe in front of you. But right on West Englewood Avenue, so walking to my house. So I don't have in the house. It makes it. Makes it better. But nonetheless,
I do.
You do. The chote is not the person who sins intentionally, goes out of his way, lahachis, to show anger to God, but rather the person who can't exhibit self-control, who's moved by taivos, so you shouldn't stand with them. And uvamoshav leitzim lo yashav, you shouldn't sit in the company of the leitzim. The scoffers. What's a Moshe of Leitzim? So, you know, people who just get together for the purpose of amusement. That's the simple shot. But you can't say that, you know, I don't want to speak ill of the card games, you know, it's not my place. It's not really that. A Leitz is a cynic, a scoffer. It's not simply someone who's seeking entertainment. The Gemara has that as well. But a Leitz is a scoffer. A person who's just cynical about everything in life. Now there's a progression here. Notice, asher lo halach, lo amod, lo yashav. Not walk, not stand, not sit. What happens? First you're drawn to walk, because the path is attractive. Or the atzas rishon. An Eitzah is a conspiracy, it's a council, the things that people talk about. So if you're drawn to it, you'll start walking with that chavra. When you're walking with them, eventually you'll stop, amad, you'll stand. You'll stand to partake of what they're doing. And of course the worst is then when you sit with them, because that means a real commitment. Well, I was thinking about the pasuk this morning, and it just reminded me there are three ways of talking to people, alright? If you're in a rush, you'll talk and walk, because you know, you're going somewhere. Well, you don't really want to talk to the person necessarily,
by
so...
By the way.
What's that?
By the way.
By the way, right. On the way, literally by the way, or on the way. If you take the person more seriously, you'll stand. You'll stand and converse. Because that's head-to-head, face-to-face, and that means you're making an investment of time. The greatest investment of time? Sit down. I'll sit down and talk to you. Rashi says, quotes the Gemara here, in a slightly different way, Rashi says that kimitoch shelo halach lo amad. If you don't walk with them, you won't stand with them. Umitoch shelo amad lo yeshev. And because he's not standing with them, he's not going to sit with them either. So to follow is to be drawn, which is the beginning of the commitment, and then you have a greater commitment, that's to stand with them, and then you have an even greater commitment, which is to sit with them and become part of their mind, their world's view. Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, She'im Holach, Sofo Lamod. If you start walking with them, you're going to stand with them as well. V'im Amad, Sofo Leishev. If you stand with them, you'll come to sit with them. V'im Yeshev, V'im Yashav, Sofo Lalutz. If you sit with them, you'll come to be a cynic like they are. So what's a Leitz? A cynic? A Leitz is a person for whom nothing is good, who has something critical to say about every aspect of life. There are people like that. You know, some say that to an extent I partake of that. I hope not, but it's true. Yeah.
I always struggle. I relate to them, you know, there are a bunch of people who are sort of haphazard and not very serious.
The happy-go-lucky.
Serious. Happy-go-lucky.
Right. It's true, but yeah, we'll get that back to that in a moment. But a Leitz really is a person who has nothing good to say, who tries to a cynic, to depreciate the value of anything that's noble.
Yeah.
All right? That's a leitz. To a leitz, the world is no good, my wife is no good, my husband's no good, the shul is no good, the rabbi's no good, the food is no good, the restaurant is no good, my sports teams are no good. You could speak to a person and everything that emerges from their mouths is negative. All right?
Take the guy seriously, you know, a leitz.
People take them seriously.
You don't take them seriously.
You know something? It's not. You wouldn't. You're on a very high level. The truth is, the cynic causes everyone. First of all, it lowers the level of the conversation, to be sure. But the cynic causes the person to rethink. All right, to doubt, exactly.
Doubt. Okay.
To doubt his value system, to doubt that which to he ascribed value in the past. Maybe the shul's not as good as I thought it was. Maybe my spouse is not as good as I... Maybe I can do better. The cynic always knocks things down. And that is the... And that's not something that happens, you know, as you're walking on the street. That's the consequence of a Moshe Blazer. You have to sit. You have to sit, and you sit, and you speak to a person long enough, and that person's cynicism will emerge.
Well, isn't it depressing to be with a person like that?
Yes, but not in each other's company. All right, because they reinforce each other.
Yeah,
now,
with someone who's like that, I don't want to be with them anymore. It depresses me to hear them complain constantly.
Right. For example, people mean well. Yeah. Everybody means well. Yeah, I hurt my knee a few weeks ago. So I'm with a doctor, debating whether to have surgery or not to have surgery. And people come up to me and say, don't go to that doctor. I'll find a doctor. I have another doctor for you. It must be a routine thing. Jackie Mason said, every Jew is the best doctor. The best doctor. My doctor's the best doctor. You don't want to tell a patient your doctor's not a good doctor. Have a better doctor. Because then you start doubting. Maybe there's a better doctor. Maybe I'm not even injured altogether. Who knows? Maybe my doctor misread everything. Maybe my pain is no pain. But when you speak to a cynic, and that's not to say everybody was a cynic, but nonetheless, it's a human reaction. You're going here, go there. You're eating here, eat there. There's tremendous, this is a great story. Months ago I read, there's a columnist in the Times, which I stopped reading, but I stopped buying months ago, almost a year ago now. But I read online, David Brooks. They don't make any money from that. David Brooks, one of the columnists, wrote, he was visited Israel last spring, and it's such a classic Israeli story. He was with a friend in the apartment. They want to go to a restaurant, and the friend called information to find out the phone number of the restaurant. And the operator said, don't go there. I'll tell you where to go. It's such a classic Israeli story. That's Uvmosh of Leitz and Lo Yashov. That brings down everyone's level when nothing is good, and negativity does feed on each other. And even if, that's what says Moshe of Leitz. You can have a cynic, but he'll be cynical about something, and some will try to top him, all right? And it's very argumentative. Now, the proximity to evil diminishes to us our contempt for it and the horror that we have for it. Thus we see that there are two types of evil that's possible in the world. There's evil bein odom l'chavero, and there's evil bein odom l'mako. A person can show contempt for his friends or the rest of society, and a person can show contempt to give yachal for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if you think about it, those are the two types of evil that we find in Parshas Noach. The evil of the Dor HaMabul, the generation of the flood, that was an evil bein odom l'chavero. They weren't really rebelling against God. They had no use for each other. They were not interested in each other. On the contrary, it was a generation of chamos, of robbery, of theft, of rape, and generally rapacious behavior. It was a sin, bein odom l'chavero. Conversely, the Dor HaPalaga, at the end of the Sedra, the generation of the dispersion, that was a sin, bein odom l'makom. Their whole point was nasalon Hashem, was to rebel against God, create for themselves an environment in which God was unnecessary, did not exist. Lo and behold, the Yalkut says here that Ashrei HaIsh, who is the Ish? Ze Noach. The fortune is the person, Noach, Asher lo halach batzas reshoim, he did not walk in the company of the wicked, exactly the opposite. He broke away from the company of the wicked. He did not see himself as part of his society anymore. And when society is wicked, or an environment in which a person finds himself is an environment of cynicism, or worse than that, meaning outright to evil and plotting evil, so the person has to break away, because that can't be a healthy environment. Ashreyo ish, one second. Zen Noach, Dichsiv, Noach ish tzaddik. Ashelo halach batzas rishoim. He didn't go in the company of the wicked. Who are the wicked? Shlosha doros. There are three generations of evil in Noach's time that he lived through. The generation of Enosh, Adam's great-grandson, who began Avodah Zarah, worshipping idols, Dor HaMabul, the generation of the flood, and Dor HaPalaga, Yosef. Noach died right after the sin of the dispersion. Kim Basar Hashem Chatos, next pasuk, Elu Sheva Mitzvos. Those are the seven mitzvos that the Shemiz Bnei Noach, that Noach adhered to, that distinguished him from the rest of the society. So that's what it is. We always have to be mindful of where we are and where we're going and with who we're standing and certainly with who we're sitting, and seek out positive forces, positive people, virtuous people, people who will strengthen our good qualities and not, God forbid, elicit our less noble qualities. Yes?
I remember when we were learning Noah, it was a trial and everything. We felt like Noah was the best. He wasn't the great, you know, he wasn't perfect. He was not
the best of his door.
He was, right.
Tamim haya b'dorasov. B'dorasov, that's a, right, that's an old machlokas that Rashi quotes. B'dorasov, is it, yesh dorshin l'gnai, yesh dorshin l'shvach. Some use it as a criticism of Noah in his generation.
Right.
He was great, but put him in generation of Avram, and he's really not so great. Or, no, but in his generation he was Tamim. Imagine if he lived in a more supportive generation, how much more he would have been a great person. All right, so the first thing is, we have to not walk in this company. Well, how do we avoid this snare? Ki im besoras Hashem chafzo. By making God's Torah our delight in all respects. That is to say, when Torah becomes our desire, our passion to learn it, to understand it, to internalize it, to implement it, Torah is the antidote to everything we find in Pasuk Aleph. The antidote. As a matter of fact, the opposite of a Moshe Vleitzim is a chavrusa. Person sits down to learn Torah with someone. You'd be surprised. You know, I'm not surprised by it. You'd be surprised how many people can learn b'chavrusa and not really know that much about each other's personal lives. It's not relevant to anything. You find someone with who you can learn your intellect, either clash or converge in whatever type of relationship you seek, and you learn with the person. You learn with the person, and that's it. You know, what the person does in private life is not really of that much interest. You'd be surprised. Women are not like that. Men can be like that. It's a difference. You learn with someone. You have to know, you know, their life story. What's that? Yeah. You have to know the life story? No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. All right, so I'll tell you one of my favorite jokes. Apropos of this, a guy's learning 20 years b'chavrusa with someone, and he invites him to his, he says, I want to invite you to my son's bar mitzvah coming up next Shabbos. I want to give you an aliyah. We're learning together so many years. So the guy says, I can't have an aliyah. I'm not Jewish. So he says, what are you talking about? We're learning for 20 years already. So he says, yeah, I like the intellectual stimulation, but I'm not Jewish. So he said, how could that be? I see you observe Shabbos every week. He said, no, I'm not Jewish. I have to perform one violation of Torah, so I carry a key with me every Shabbos. So he said, but we have an Erev here. So he said, I don't hold from that Erev.
I'm building the second shul.
Right. But the underlying truth is that you could learn with someone not really know anything, a lot about their lives, because the focus is on Torah. Ki mitoras Hashem chafzom. So I'm fortunate. My great-grandfather, Oliver Shalom, Aaron Usher Volonitz, wrote a commentary on Tehillim. Really a beautiful commentary that I'll quote from liberally during the year. He says, Ki mitaras Hashem chefzo, uvasora soye ge yamon v'loyla, will meditate in God's Torah day and night, is you would think, what's the Chassam Sofer, you would think that we can derive midos from elsewhere in the world, not from Torah. All right. In the Gemara says, by the way, you can learn certain midos from the animal kingdom, how they act, like ants and cats, etc. No, ki mitaras Hashem chefzo, it means the true happiness of a Jew, and the most direct and fulfilling way that we learn everything about the world is from Taras Hashem. And that's what Ben Bagbag said in the end of the fifth paragraph of Avos, Hafach ba va hafach ba de cholava. Turn and turn in the Torah, because everything is in it. Umina lo tezua, don't move at all from the Torah. Shein lecha mida tovo heimena. There's no better quality, no mida that can be derived not from it. We learn midos from the Torah, not from Ann Landers. That's the cholaba. Everything is in it. And if a person has that desire, that passion for Torah, there's no doubt every good human quality can be derived, can be extracted from the Torah as well. And without Torah, so invariably, vacuums will occur in a person's life, and those vacuums will be filled with the Eitzos of Rishoyim and with Leitzonus, with what amounts to Bittul Torah. How do people fill their lives? Well, that's what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yuches Amud Beis, on the first Pasuk. Ashrei Ha'ish. They'll go to theaters and entertainment and performances, some idolatrous, some degrading, some not so. But the bottom line is, those are the distractions of life. Those are not the essences of life. When a person seeks the essence of life, the Jew finds it in Torah, in all its aspects of Torah. Uve Torah so yehege yomom v'loyla. So Rashi says, what do you mean Torah so? His Torah. Who's the pronoun? Bitchila he nikres Torah Hashem. It's also Gemara Avodah Zarah. At first, the Torah is called God's Torah. But when you meditate on the Torah, when you work in Torah, humisha omol ba, he nikres Torah so. It becomes his Torah, Torah delay. That is to say, every person, every Jew, creates a unique approach to, a unique acceptance of Torah. That is to say, the acceptance of Torah of every Jew is personal to that Jew. And therefore, how a Jew is going to relate to Torah is not something which is subject to cookie-cutter manufacturing, but is very subjective. It's very individualistic. It's true in terms of performance of mitzvahs. It's true of hashkafos. It's even true of Talmud Torahs. The Gemara here comments in Avodah Zarah Daf Yotes Amud Aleph, I guess apropos of the change of the topic, Gemara tells a story that Reb Shimon wanted to learn. They finished the sefer. Reb Shimon, Reb Levi learned the Chavrusa, Reb Shimon, Rebbe's son. Reb Shimon wanted to learn Sefer Tehillim. Reb Levi wanted to learn Sefer Mishlei. All right, so Reb Shimon was the Nasi's son. His view prevailed. They came to this pasuk, Ki Mitaras Hashem Chafzo, and Reb Shimon quoted his father, that Ein Adam Lo Me Torah Ela Mi Makam Shaliba Chafetz. A person should only learn Torah from the place where his heart desires. And Torah is so vast. A person can choose so many different aspects of Torah. Find something in Torah that appeals to you. And with that, Reb Levi got up and said, I'm exempt from learning Mishlei with you, because I'm Tehillim. I don't want to learn Tehillim. I want to learn Mishlei. Reb Levi got up and left. The bottom line is, Mimakom Shaliba Chafetz, everyone can find that area of Torah that they enjoy. And even the breakdown of different aspects of Torah is a reservoir of infinite knowledge. Whether it's Chumash or Gemara or Musar or Navi or the works of Rishonim philosophy, the knowledge is infinite. What a person is drawn to, I say this all the time, some people in shul, they like the meat and potatoes. They want halacha, nothing else. just tell me what to do. I want to know what to do, and that's it. I can give me 10 different opinions what to do. That's it. Taimei mitzvos, philosophy, history. No, that's not their forte. And others are the opposite. You could have so many different varieties of Talmud Torah. People should learn what they're drawn to, because that's how they serve God, and that's how it most remains in their minds. That's how we retain ideas, by trying to absorb ideas that are tasteful to us, that are delicious to us, that have a ne'imus, a mesikus, a sweetness to it. That's what we seek, and that's how a person is going to ward off the threats of the Rishom and the Chotim and the Leitzim, as well as the way to find Osher, happiness. Ashra Ish, it's not enough just to avoid Ra. A person has to seek the Tov, and the Tov is to be found in the Torah. And the Malbim says, the Tov, something, Tov is Tov because it is Tov, and not for any other reason. We embrace the good, we seek the good because it's good, and for no other reason. See, a lot of times I'll ask at the beginning of the year, please turn off the cell phones. I should make an announcement. Please turn them on! Why do we care? Everyone has a different ring, right. Kimbatarat Hashem Chatzo. You get to know something about the personality of the person by their ringtone. So we get to know each other a little better by what's ringing. That particular truck, I have no idea what it was. So. Okay, so we do the toe. We do what's good, the Malbim says, only because it's good, and not for any other reason. If so, if a person does that, then he'll be like a tree that's replanted along the banks of the water, where it will grow. It'll be implanted, and it will be very fruitful. Its fruit will be given in its season at the right time. Its leaf will never wither. And everything a person does, he will be successful in. Ibn Ezra says here that the soul of the person, of the Torah Jew, ripens through Torah. It ripens, and then it can exist forever, because it exists all in my ball. But in addition to that, it provides for the next generation as well. It's impossible for a person to be involved in Torah and not feel a need to be a Baal Masorah, to convey the Torah to a child, to a grandchild, to a great-grandchild, if we're Zocha. Asher piryo yitain ve'ito ve'alehu lo yibol. The fruit keeps coming, and the leaf itself never withers. V'chol asher yaseh yatzliach. Going back to the Malbim's definition, yatzliach, then whatever a person does in this world, he'll find satisfaction in, and that's tuv olam hazeh. So my great-grandfather wrote, we'll call him henceforth the old Zaydis, I called him that, hon bonim kavod. Person in this world will have wealth, possessions, he may be able to take care of his needs, he'll have children, and he'll have the respect of society. And in those dimensions of life, person cares for his physical needs, he's involved in, a sense, eternity through his children, and kavod tends to his psychological needs as well. That's the chol asher yaseh yatzliach. Now the Malbim notes here that he's ke'etz, he's a tree. What's the opposite of an eitz in the understanding of the tzaddik Russia dichotomy? We say this in the Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. What do we say about the Rishoyim? The Rishoyim are not like Eitzim. No, they are like grass. Grass. Here we go. Esav. Okay, why grass?
Because it grows. Green grows.
Hold on a second. Yifrach Rishom kamo Esev. The Rishom sprout like grass. Vayatzitzu kol poli oven. And then they flourish. All those evildoers, Lishamdama Dayad. Because grass is not long-lasting. Check out my lawn, for example. Grass is not long-lasting. Trees are. Esav exists for a time, and Esav, the Malbim says very insightfully, exists only for itself. Grass does not beget other grass. Grass sprouts, season comes, it dies, and that's the end of it. It's gone. So he says, what's that? Trees have fruit. Exactly. But just going back to the grass for a moment, he says, there's the Malbim, Asherak mi no yishmor. It only preserves its min. Just each blade is its own blade. V'utachli sacharon. That's its final purpose. V'chein hamum b'nei hadom. That's the fate of many people as well, the masses. Lo yasu me'umo l'kiyum isham, rak l'kiyum minam. They don't do anything in order to cause their personalities to endure, but they exist basically to ensure the species carries on. So they're species people. They'll make sure there's another generation of human beings. But what they've done as an individual, no, it's ke'ilu ein lam tachlis acher, rak kiyum amin. It's as if they don't have any other purpose. Just, you need a generation between someone who's productive and the next generation productive. See, he's the bridge. But he did nothing himself. That's Esav. As opposed to
tree.
A tree is different. Because a tree, milvad kiyum mino, it also exists on its own, and it produces fruit, it produces leaves, and it keeps producing year after year the same tree. And note, it's not natua. This is again the Malbim's focus. It's ke'esh shasul al pagemayim. What's the difference between natua, planted, and shatul? Shatul means replanted, or transplanted, like in Hebrew. Hashtalat evarim is an organ transplant. You're mashtil one eva from the other. So I thought it means that on the one hand, the tree of the tzaddik is a graft, really, from other tzaddikim. Those tzaddikim, they don't have the same derech necessarily, but they all partake more or less of the same framework. So therefore, every tzaddik is like a graft, like a replant of a tree that came before. The Malbim says, shasul, it means the rasha is planted only in this world. And he could build and grow and flourish for time in this world. He could exist like grass, but he exists only in this world. But tzaddik, though, is a transplant, because he's a tree that exists in this world also, but he's transplanted, or the way he lives is as if he's transplanted elsewhere, and that's in the next world as well. That is to say, he doesn't only live a physical existence, he lives primarily a spiritual existence, and his physical existence just sustains the spiritual existence, so therefore he has a full life. He's shatul apalge mayim, right along the river where things most grow, where it's most verdant. That's the life of the tzaddik. Conversely, Lochein harishoyim, not so the rasha. Kim kamod sasher tidfenu ruach. The rasha is like the chaff that the wind blows away. What's chaff? It's insignificant. It's ephemeral. It's like gossamer. And Mefarshim say it's not even the chaff, you know, while it still has the grain inside. Chaff is the outer covering of a husk of grain. It's rather, once the grain has gone on to a greener pasture, so to speak, what's left is the chaff, which just blows away. That is to say, it's the epitome of insignificance. My great-grandfather said, it's not even like an ilan srak. So we have ilan peri, we have a fruit tree which produces fruit, but there's ilan srak, a non-fruit-bearing tree. So it provides something, shade, shelter. No, it's not even ilan srak, it's like motz. Motz is nothing. Motz has existence to it, but it's an existence that does not really contribute to anything real, anything substantive. Al kein lo yakumu rishoyim b'mishpat. Therefore, the rishoyim will not be vindicated in judgment, v'chatoim ba'adas tzadikim, nor the sinners in the company of the wicked. That is to say, Therefore, the Rishayim will not be vindicated even individually. It's not just a question of they're part of a group, they're part of the Moshe of Leitzim, so one reflects on the other, and their environment, etc. No, no, no. Even Bifnei Atzmam, the Malbim says, even individually, they're not going to be vindicated. They won't find any positive judgment, because the focus of their life has been completely negative, completely contrary to the Ratzon Hashem. V'chata'im ba'adas tzadikim. And the sinners, there'll be no sinners in the company of the wicked. Why would we think there'd be sinners in the company of the wicked? I'm sorry, sin in the company of the righteous. Why would we think there'd be sinners in the company of the righteous? Exactly opposite. So my great-grandfather explained, no. Because there's a certain type of sinner who will say, Anu holchim b'minhage kol hador achata'im. We're just following the majority of our generation. We're just going with the flow. That's what people are like here. Be'ein ish tzadik amila habit lasas ma'asim tovim. We didn't really have any good role models in society. We never knew what to do. We never really knew how we were supposed to live. So therefore, we just did what everyone else did. Claiming a person's environment is critical to spiritual growth. You know, I mention this all the time about shul, for example. It's a very common dynamic. You know, if you talk about decorum in shul, it's really not a question of the entire shul. Because there's no shul, everybody's talking. It's rather different locations. So you have to claim your environment. First yourself, then the people sitting next to you, then your row, and then your area. And if there's a particular area where there's this type of a conflict, then a person should try it however nice as possible, but claim the environment. If you don't claim the environment, then that environment continues to spread. You have to make a stand at a certain point. You can't say, Halacha never recognizes the excuse, everybody does it. That's the Chataim Badas Tzadikim. The Chataim have really no place in the realm of the Tzadik. They can't say, oh, I would have been a Tzadik. Had I known, I live with the Chafetz Chaim in Raden, I wouldn't have spoken Lashon Hara. No, we don't live like that. What's the greatest example of that? Noach. Noach's the great example. Because he was the only person's generation. There was no one else outside of Noach and his family. Noach Matzach and Ben Hashem, because he was an individual. If anyone ever had a greater claim to peer pressure, that would be Noach. Not only did he stand against them before the thought of the flood ever arose, but how long did it take him to build the ark? The generation of the flood had a warning of 120 years to mend their ways. So Noach spent 120 years building the Teva. It's a long-term building project, right? You have that in the world as well. Big building fund, correct? Right. There's actually a church, Bavdil, in Barcelona that's under construction after 200 years already. Still going on. I forget the name. Yeah, Gracia, something like that. 200 years, 220 years, going on and on. What's that guy? Gaudi. He was the original architect. But he's long gone, right? Gaudi, he gave rise to that English word, you know, very ornate, elaborate. Gaudi. The Gaudi. Well, in Spanish, it's Gaudi. So in Spanish, that's what it is. Gaudi, that's right. We speak Spanish here. It's okay. Right. So peer pressure doesn't really amount to much. You know, children go through this all the time. Not the adults also, but children too. You know, my friends were doing it, or my friends were going. I want to go to this place. Oh, my friends are going. That's what it means. V'chatem ba'das tzadikim. No one becomes a tzadik relatively, because everyone else is no good. I was the best of the bad bunch. No, that's not true. I'd like to receive that on a report card. Your son is the best of a bad bunch. What does it say in Avos? It says, don't be a son of La'aroyos. I'm sorry, be a son of La'aroyos. Al tirosh al shu'olim. Don't be the head of foxes. Better to be the tail of lions. In other words, a person should strive for spiritual growth, even if you lag behind them, because at least you're reaching for the stars. You're trying to elevate yourself, as opposed to standing back and trying just to be a little better than a level which is not that salutary. But nonetheless, the Chatoim Badas Tzadikim, Shov Tanosam, I'm back to the old Zaidi's work, this argument is frivolous, futile. Ki b'chol dor v'dor nimtzim anashim yeshuv tzadikim. In every generation you find righteous people. Chazal say, Ashrei kochochevo, lo, what's kochevo, waiting for him, lamed vav, the lamed vav tzadikim in every generation. I shouldn't say that's a later thing. Amar b'chi, it's more yomadaf, lamed chesam and bez. B'chi said, Rakadosh baruch hu tzadikim muatim, God saw that the tzadikim are few in number, amaru shtalam b'chol dor v'dor. He sprinkled a few, he planted a few in every generation. Every generation has a tzadik. Every generation has role models, has good influences. I remember vividly, so I was sitting next to a guy once, I was eating lunch when I was in law school, in the cafeteria, and he was eating a ham on matzah. It was after Pesach, all right? Ham on matzah. So I decided to talk to him. I'm sorry, that was a later story. He was eating, it was a few months earlier, he bought a pastrami sandwich, Jewish fellow, bought a pastrami sandwich around the corner, not kosher, and he said to me, this is good because pastrami is from a kosher animal, right? I said to him, not necessarily. It's not because that's being slaughtered the right way. He didn't know. So I said, where do you live? He said, that's the thing, I didn't grow up in a Jewish neighborhood. All right, so where do you live? Just suffer in New York. The guy lived a half mile from me. He lived literally two blocks from the shul in which I davened, Rabbi Wein shul. But because it was two blocks away, he said, I'm not in a Jewish neighborhood. He lived right off Arrowhead Lane, if you remember. Strange. To him, it wasn't a Jewish neighborhood because it's like a block away from where everyone lived. No, every generation has role models. If only as tzaddikim, if only a person takes the time and the interest in order to find them. So God plants them, not just in a generation, but in every society, every community. I mean, you look even at our community. If you take a number of different realms, you could find people who are involved constantly in attempts at spiritual growth. Whether it's in Chesed, or Eretz Yisrael, or Lashon Hara, Talmud Torah, Midos development, whatever it is, there are people involved in that. So one can't say, one can never say, even about our community, I didn't know such a thing was going on. If you didn't know, it's because you didn't want to know, because it's going on all around you. All these things are going on day after day after day. People seeking good things, people pursuing virtues. So one can't say, I didn't know, it was not part of my world. Ki yodea Hashem derech tzadikim, v'derech reshaim toved. God knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the wicked, derech reshaim, is doomed. So this pasuk can also be understood in two different ways. One, ki yodea Hashem derech tzadikim, God knows the ways of the righteous. That is to say, God knows the way of the righteous is a difficult one, that the challenges, personal challenges, societal challenges, they're challenges. The tzaddik fight's not an easy one. It's not a rose garden necessarily. Well, everyone has a yetzara, and we also have to struggle with that yetzara. The greatest person has a yetzara. As the Gemara understood it, the greater the person, the greater the yetzara. So the challenges are even greater. So God knows that. In fact, my great-grandfather quotes here the Gemara in Shabbos, Habolatar Messiah, so a person who comes to purify himself, God Messiah, so God helps such a person. That is to say, who mashgiach al derech tzadikim sheyem iskayim tamid, that God ensures that the way of the righteous can be sustained, that the obstacles are not insurmountable, because that would not be fair. That's a bracha, special hashgacha that we have. That's one aspect of it. Bless you. That God knows that the way of the righteous is difficult, so he assists us. But there's another way to understand it as well. That God knows is to say yada in the sense of adam yadas chavishto. God's intimate with the way of the tzaddik. That is to say, God knows exactly the way the tzaddik should live, and He gave it to us. God gave us the mechanism, the formula by which we can attain happiness in this world. Ashreish. Ratzakavish Baruch Hu Lizakos Es Yisrael. God wanted to convey zchus, merits on the Jewish people. Lefichach Hirbo Lahem Torah Mitzvos. He gave us a whole world of Torah, a whole world of mitzvos. He gave it to us. And that's the whole Torah. The whole Torah really is Chasdei Hashem. It's a kindness of God. He put man in the world and He said, live this way. I'll give you the instruction manual, right? Ever try to program an appliance without the instruction manual? Yeah. It's hard enough with the manual. Here's the manual. Live this way. Live this way. Ashrech v'tovloch. It'll be good for you in this world. Be good in the next world as well. So Yad Hashem Derech Tzadikim, He draws the righteous in. And v'derech v'shrim toved. If we look carefully enough, we see that the way of the wicked is doomed. They can create tremendous havoc, no doubt about it, but they're doomed certainly in the next world, but they're always doomed in this world as well. Eventually, their activities catch up with them. And rarely, happens occasionally for reasons we don't necessarily understand, rarely do they die peacefully. Rarely. That's the exception. It's toved. It's a loss. Liyomadin, they're sunk, but even in this world, they're sunk as well. They're doomed in both worlds. The way to Osher, to Ashroish, so it has obstacles, the way has hurdles to overcome, but that way is clear. That way is before us, if only we reach out for it. Yes?
You would imagine, though, that it would be a positive statement, Ashroish, to do something, follow the tzaddikim, something positive rather than just starting on the negative.
Yes, so the Malbim says, the Malbim asked that point. Why not phrase it Ashrei Ish Sheholech B'Derech Tzadikim, etc. So he says, as we'll read later in Tehillim, also Pasuk Shabbos morning, the first thing we have to do, Sur Meira Basay Tov. The allure of evil is much more graphic, much more powerful. So therefore you have to first Sur Meira, identify what's evil and keep from it, then by nature you'll gravitate to the good. Whereas if you start walking with the wicked and standing with the sinners and sitting with the cynics, you'll never come to it because it's not possible. Even a person who does good, by the way, he can do good and then he'll, you know, walk with them also or sit with them too for a change of pace. That's very seductive and it's difficult to overcome that. So that's why it's phrased, first Sur Meira. Sur Meira, you'll see what evil is. You'll be able to learn the opposite of evil just by doing the opposite of what they do. But then you know how to embrace the good. Once you separate from the evil, then Ki Mitaras Hashem Chafzo. The Torah becomes your chayfetz, the object of your affections, and then you could fill in that social void with Torah, with ideas, with mitzvahs, with chesed, with everything that we have. That's really what Noach did. That was his greatness against the rest of his generation. To an extent, at the end of the century, it was Avraham Avinu too. Avraham did the same thing because Avraham also had to stand against his door. Avraham, the end of the century this week, the Torah refers obliquely to his confrontation with Nimrod. And Nimrod's the most powerful man. Avraham was Me'ivra Nor, Avraham Ivri. A stand against the world. He's on one side of the river. Everyone else is on the other side of the river. That's the greatness of the human being to an extent, just to extrapolate forward, that's the Jewish people. We're in one dimension and the world's completely on the other side. You just look, for example, I'm sure you wanted to mention this, look at the Goldstone, 15 seconds, the Goldstone report, right? Which is the world has to sit and carve out new rules of engagement for war just to make the Jews feel that we cannot defend ourselves. Every nation can defend themselves. The Jews can't. So they're turning completely the jurisprudence of war on its head. in order to reach a situation where you're not allowed, you could just have rockets falling on your head, you're not allowed to respond. All right, that's what it means to be on one side and everyone's on the other side. That was Noah, more pertinent to us, that was Avraham Avinu. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, two things.
Well, David's life wasn't just an upward trajectory of spiritual growth. On the contrary, he also had ups and downs. He had all the horrible experience we could think about on a personal and communal level. Family life, outside his family life, society rejected him, children, you can't imagine such a terrible life. So David is that symbol of how we show Avas Hashem and how we're over the Hashem in every particular circumstance. And that's what makes the Book of Tehillim one that resonates with Jews in such a powerful way.